Go, and on the right wing, Glass sets up time again. Hika shoots, save, rebound, score! It's time again! Left wing into the zone, here's Kosola. Lost it, tipped out for Tropp, he shoots, knocked down, he gets it again, swings behind, oh, and a kick save! Danska, fantastic stop! Rebound shot, missed the cage, another try, saved by Danska on the doorstep! White Cloud shot blocked, deflected into the near glass, still in the play, timed it up top, Haga, slap shot, save, rebound, score! On the doorstep, left side, 3:30 to go in the third period. The point shot from Haygott on goal, stopped, and then jammed home at the left side of the net.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Frank Harness, Ryan the Hockey Guy, Wallace, Chris Chapman, all in the studio here. In the second segment, at the bottom of the hour or so, we'll hear from Derek Englund. You'll have a chance to do a meet and greet with him tomorrow. Chris Chapman will be out there as well. That'll be Saturday, of course, not tomorrow. Finley Kia on West Sahara at Lindell. It's so weird without hockey games and that kind of stuff. I'm ahead of myself. It feels like Friday to me.
It does feel like a Friday. Not sure why. It just does.
It does to me. It
just does.
But anyhow, but yes, that will be
weekend.
Saturday from 2 to 4. It'll be a real long weekend, especially if today was Friday, because then but tomorrow, then we'll still have the long weekend, and the Stanley Cup Finals will finally start on Monday, so looking forward to that. And if you'd like to let us know who you think is going to win in the finals, you can do so.
Visit us at Fox Sports LV on Twitter. We just put up a poll. If there are any typos in this poll, it's all Chris Chapman's fault, not mine. But the poll is simply this. Who do you think is going to win the Stanley Cup final, and in how many games? It's Blues in, what was it,
four or five games.
Yeah. Blues in four or five, or Blues in six or seven, or Boston in four or five, or Boston in six or seven. You don't win anything if you're right, except for the fact that you were right and everyone else was wrong.
You have bragging rights.
Yeah. So
it and just, we got our first vote, by the way.
Oh, fantastic. We
Blues
got one.
In four or five games.
Blues in four or five. Yes. I don't think it's going to be a four or five
wow, that's optimistic.
Game series. It doesn't feel like the type of series that's going to end quickly. It's going to be back and forth, and it's going to be long, and it's going to be grindy. That's what I'm seeing out of it.
Yeah, and we'll keep this poll up there a couple days, so you know you have multiple chances to take part in it, because the finals don't start until Monday, like we mentioned, and chomping at the bit for that. But there's been other hockey going on, and last night the Chicago Wolves, you heard it there in the opening highlights there, the open of the show. Chicago Wolves had a chance to go up 2-1 in their series against San Diego. However, San Diego gets the victory. They win the game 3-2. Now San Diego has the advantage 2-1 in the series. Chicago must win one of the two games this weekend, Friday or Saturday, down in San Diego if they'd like to bring this back to Chicago for a game six.
Yep, and you know we talked about it. It's a longish weekend, so if you have nothing else to do this weekend and you want to see the future Golden Knights, take a trip down to San Diego. Cheer them on. Shout Knight during the national anthem, which happened yesterday. So not only is it that the Golden Knights fans travel well, but they travel well for the AHL affiliate. You got to enjoy that. You got to like that. You got to respect that.
The biggest question, though, is did the San Diego fans boo during the national anthem like the San Jose fans do?
No, the San Jose fans are the only fans that I know of that boo the national anthem, too. I don't think that the San Diego Gulls fans knew what to expect. Like, I think it was just kind of there, and then all of a sudden it happened, and everyone's like, "But they're the Chicago Wolves." Like, yeah.
I'm not sure all the Chicago Wolf players knew what to expect.
Yeah, probably not.
I mean, a couple of them might have that have been here, but a couple of them probably like, "What? Oh, okay, yeah, we get it."
Yeah, get it now for sure.
It's strange too, because you go to an Aviator game and you hear that.
Game. Yeah, and that's like
it's kind of become the Vegas thing. Will they do it at Raider games?
No. Absolutely not.
They should.
I mean, I'm not saying that they should or shouldn't, but I don't think they will.
It should just be the city's thing. It should just be their thing. Would the Raiders like it if they did do it at their game?
No, absolutely not. The Raiders would not like that tradition to continue, I don't think.
I don't really know if any teams want that tradition to continue outside of the Golden Knights.
Well, I mean, it's unique to Vegas. For sure, because it's the first time that there's been that tradition surrounding a professional team here in Vegas. But, like, if you're the Raiders, it doesn't make any sense. Like, I get it to an extent for the Chicago Wolves here in and around this, but you know, even for the Aviators, it's a little strange.
I've heard it at Lights FC games.
But see, at least the lights, it's a little bit
like
closer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit closer, but you know,
why wouldn't they at the Lights FC games say lights?
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's not the word.
Well, right, but it's the Lights FC. I mean, they could. It would still fit in seamlessly
through the lights that our flag was still there.
Yeah, I don't think that would work out too well. Listen, I'm not going to harp on anybody that has so much pride in their team and their city that they want to continue this tradition in any sporting event that they want to. I just don't imagine it's going to translate to the Raiders. Like, I understand why it translates to the Aviators. It's brand new. It came in at exactly the right time. Outside of that, I don't know. Like, it'll probably happen at Rebel games, right? Like, that might be thing that happens.
It
could. So,
yeah. It does happen at Rebel games, especially the basketball ones.
So I can understand those things that are kind of uniquely Vegas, but I don't think that it's going to translate for the Raiders.
No, I don't think so either, but I think there might be a handful of people that do it just to make I just wonder, and that's why I threw it out there with the Raiders. I mean, I don't think they would necessarily like it either, because in a way to kind of be just reminding everybody who the first Major League Professional club in this city is.
Do you think that the Raiders care about that?
I think they would if their fans were chanting it during the national anthem. Otherwise, I don't think they do, because I think they're their belief is we're the NFL, and when we come to town, we will own this city.
Yep, I agree. That's what they think.
I mean, you know, silver and black is going to be over gold and black, although they are doing that softball game coming up here, which looking forward to that.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I can't wait for it, actually. I want to see Riley Smith and how many dingers he can hit. It'd be great.
I want to see if Ryan Reeves, if he can take some of that power that he has on the ice and take that into a swing as well. I want to see if anybody can hit one over the fence.
I think there'll be a couple of home runs.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough with and it's a softball that they're hitting over. It's not a hard ball.
I think it'll happen.
All right. We'll see.
I think not.
I'm guessing they probably won't either.
You want one as the over under on home runs hit in the game?
Unless
home runs over the fence.
Over the fence. Yeah. Now they may put up a little fence in the outfield, but
I don't think they're going to do that. I think that
for one thing, somebody could trip over it and injure themselves.
That's true.
I believe wholeheartedly that somebody in that game. I'm not saying a Golden Knight.
It could be a Raider player,
but I'm saying
it could
somebody
be a celebrity.
Somebody will be able to hit one out.
Based on what Riley Smith was saying, I would put a lot of money on it not being him.
I would say you're probably right. But I don't care. I think somebody is going to hit one out.
It's possible. I mean, who knows? We could see Jose Canseco or somebody playing in the game. There's a lot of people in Vegas that live out here that could be a celebrity that could be part of that lineup.
Here's the question. Will Golden Knights fans heckle the Raider players that are coming up to bat?
I don't think they will, because I think everybody's going to be out there because it's for great charities and everything like that.
No, I think they absolutely will.
I think there's going to be some heckling going
there's
on.
Gonna be
there might be.
There's going to be chirping on the field.
Especially
and there's going to be chirping
Reeves,
in the stands. Come
if,
on.
If Ryan serious. Reeves is on the field, there will definitely be chirping.
Now, that would be interesting, too, because is Reeves going to play first base? Isn't that what Riley said?
I think so, yeah.
They need to mic him up.
Oh, yeah, it'd be great.
When one of the Raiders gets on, that'd be great, the trash talking back and forth.
Plus,
but Ryan
Reeves
being like, you know, I could have played football too, but I went for a man sport or something. I mean, who knows what they'd say.
And his dad played in the NFL. He was a big CFL star too, his dad.
All I'm saying is this. You can support the charity and still boo people.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you support it any less.
However, we're not encouraging anyone to heckle.
But we're
anybody.
Encouraging people to go well, and have a good time.
Good natured
heckling. If you want to.
Yeah. You know, curb your language and stuff like that, but good natured heckling.
Don't get
fine.
Thrown out.
Yeah, no.
Jeez. Just go have fun.
I hope they have a good turnout for that game.
I think they will.
I think they will, too.
I think so. I'm going to go. I'm going to go check it out.
I'm definitely looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great time. And I am curious to see who else comes out there.
Yeah. I want to see who shows up for the Golden Knights.
I want to know if Imagine Dragons, if they play before the game starts, is it an automatic win for Team Raiders?
It's got to be, right?
It has to be.
That's a shot.
That's just a question.
Our next poll question.
Are they going to split the Imagine Dragons onto both teams?
The
so
bad
that
karma?
One team doesn't have an advantage?
Well, maybe this particular episode featuring Imaginary Dragons will have the finish that people enjoy.
Did you just say imaginary?
Yes, yes,
yes. I did. I said imagine. I know it's Imagine Dragons. I said imaginary because I was taking a shot at Game of Thrones.
Oh,
I don't.
With the imaginary dragons and that thing.
Let me ask you a question. Because listen, you have talked about Game of Thrones more in the last week and a half than you had the entire rest of the run of show. How many episodes of Game of Thrones did you watch?
Zero.
So why are you talking about it?
Because I think it's funny how everybody's so upset about it and that some people are actually having to go to counseling because it's over.
Really?
And there's petitions out there demanding that HBO redo the final season or at least the final episode because people are just crushed by it. I can't imagine somebody's life being so wrapped into a TV show that they need counseling for it.
You can't imagine people being so wrapped into something, some type of event, that they would need counseling afterward?
For a TV show, no.
So, I mean, sports are essentially the same thing.
Yeah. I've never needed counseling
you
for
maybe
my sports.
Not, maybe you haven't, but I think there I are people that can't grasp just things ending in general.
Yes.
Well,
Chris has been downtrodden since the Golden Knights were eliminated.
No, nope, San Jose's done. I'm cool now.
Well, now?
Yeah.
Right, but I'm saying
it was 3 weeks of hell, man, let me tell you.
I
can barely get up and come to work.
We'll have to see what Derek England thinks about that as well.
You never struck me as a guy that cared about Game of Thrones at all. And like it's literally one of the only things you'll talk about these days.
Gloria.
I was just trying to take a shot.
Yeah, but it's a reference that I don't know.
Oh, so it's only if I don't know a reference that you enjoy it.
Well, there's no reason for you to know the reference because you've never watched the show. But how do you know the reference?
Because it's dragons. It was just an imagined dragons and the dragons from Game of Thrones. That was the shot, saying that maybe this one will turn out the way people will enjoy the ending of. That's all it was.
Oh, got it.
And then you guys both went off on the rail.
You both said imaginary.
I said imaginary dragons.
I said that intentionally because the dragons in Game of Thrones are imaginary. I know the band is Imagine Dragons.
And I get that.
I said
that
it a zillion times.
But here's the thing. It would have made more sense for you to drop that reference if you were an avid Game of Thrones fan. But the fact that you've never talked about Game of Thrones before threw everyone in the room for a loop thinking that you just thought the name of the band was Imaginary Dragons.
Well, I'm sorry that it threw you for a loop.
Okay, that's it.
Jeez. I don't know who Dwight is, and I get raked over the coals, but I make a reference to something, and all of a sudden it's bad. Because you didn't get it.
Because it's out of place for you as a person that has never watched the show.
Well, sometimes you got to keep them guessing.
I guess. You know, there's two types of people.
Have you heard Cofield and Company?
No.
Because they talk about it all the time. And Adam Hill, the only episode he watched was the last one. And he did an entire story and article and blew up Twitter about it. How the entire series, all of them, were terrible because of one show.
Okay. One, The Office is better than Game of Thrones. I'm sure. Two, God, that's going to be bad.
You're in big trouble now.
There's only two types of people right now. There are people that watched Game of Thrones and want everybody to know that they watched it and they hate it, or people that want you to know that they never watched it at all.
Which category do you fall into?
I've never spoken about it until this Imaginary Dragons thing.
So total episodes the three of us combined have watched?
I've watched zero.
I've watched zero.
I've watched zero. Well, I don't have HBO either, so I really didn't have a choice.
Yeah, you're the one dropping Imaginary Dragons on us. Jesus.
I wonder how many listeners saw that coming, that neither of us had ever watched I haven't even watched a minute of it. Like, I literally only knew about it like 2 years ago.
I think I saw like a minute or two of one of the episodes once when I didn't know that they were doing a free HBO weekend or something like that. And I caught part of it and went, well, there's no sense watching this because it's not like I'm going to be able to watch it next week or something, and I don't know what's going on today.
Yeah, and for me, it was the kind of thing like, oh, I found out about it so late that I was like, well, I can't just start watching it in like season five or whatever, wherever they were at. I was like, well, I guess I'll have to wait till it's over and go back and watch from the get-go.
Do one of those binge-watching things. Apparently, that's a big thing these days.
Yeah. I have too much time on my hands. Maybe I could. This weekend, I'll start.
All right. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. All right, let's talk about some hockey then, okay?
They're there because they win, not because they act like fish.
Yeah.
It's a mental thing.
They're also out of the playoffs. But they don't care. I think they do care that they're out of the playoffs. World Championships going on over in Slovakia. We have finals in from today. In the most recent action, which just finished a little while ago, Finland beat Sweden 5-4. The Czech Republic beat Germany 5-1. Finland, by the way, won that game in overtime, coming back from a goal down to beat Sweden. Russia beats the United States 4-3, behind a goal and two assists from Nikita Gusev. So without Gusev there, the USA probably could have pulled a big upset today, but it was not to be. And Canada and Switzerland. Canada, the number one seed from Group A, taking on the number four seed Swiss from Group B. The game was exciting. Switzerland held a 2-1 lead late in the third period. Canada ended up pulling goaltender Matt Murray. And with about 2 seconds left in the game, this happened.
Left. Stone feeds it back. Severson a drive. That's blocked by Moser. Severson shoots again. Scores! Right at zero. The puck crosses the line. And now the question will be, was there time left on the clock? Canada, unbelievable.
Canada scored with under 2 seconds left to beat Slovakia. They will now review this.
So now we'll need the replay with the clock burned in. It's a simple question. Had time expired when the puck went across the line? And now the referee, Aleksi Rantala from Finland, will talk to the video goal judge. And it's a goal. Wow. 0.4 seconds left, and Canada has tied this game.
We actually edited that down to about 46 seconds or so, because it took like almost 2 minutes for the whole thing with the review and everything else. Severson lets go the shot. It hits the goaltender in his pads, and it slowly just kind of goes behind him. He turns around. He can't get his glove around. It's slowly going across. You see 2 seconds. You see 1 second. Then you see it counting down, and with 0.4 seconds left, the puck just barely crashes, passes the goal line. Canada sends it to overtime. And in the overtime, well, a name that you're very familiar with was the hero of the game for the Canadians.
Dubois. Chip set by Niederreiter. He's got Stone with him. Dubois works in. Centers it. Stone scores! Mark Stone, the overtime winner! And Canada's off to the semifinals! A miraculous escape for Canada. 0.2 seconds away from elimination. And now they're on to Bratislava for the semis.
Good job.
There you have it, Mark Stone there. Also an assist in that on that goal from Shea Theodore as well. As Theodore, Marchessault, and Mark Stone have certainly been three of the big stars for Team Canada. They will now go on to the semifinals. That game will be on Saturday with the finals on Sunday. And the semifinals will be featuring, like I say, Russia takes on Finland, who beat Sweden, and Canada will take on the Czech Republic.
Should be fun. Now, it was clearly San Jose Sharks breakup day today.
Yes.
Okay. So, given all the uncertainty around Erik Karlsson, Joe Pavelski, Joe Thornton, I figured that we would take a minute.
All right.
To talk about some of the quotes coming out of San Jose today on locker cleanout day, since the San Jose Sharks are cleaning out their lockers before the Stanley Cup has been awarded to one of the two teams remaining, meaning they weren't in the Stanley Cup final.
Right.
So this is from Kevin Kurz with The Athletic. So Joe Pavelski was out game six, not because of a head injury, but a lower body injury. So everybody that was yelling and screaming at Alex Pietrangelo that he's a dirty player, sit down. That wasn't the hit. Or it wasn't a head injury. Hurdle missed game six with a head injury, we know that, but was also dealing with a broken pinky finger in his left hand for the entire playoff run. Boy, does that change the game-winning goal in game six, huh? No? Doesn't?
No,
okay,
no.
All right, that's fine. I think it does. I think
okay.
That's when Fleury absolutely has to stay from Tomas Hurdle with a broken finger. Joe Thornton says he hasn't made any decisions yet. Confirms if he returns, it won't be anywhere else but here. Thornton also pulled his groin on the first shift of the St. Louis series. So Thornton, bad groin, clearly doesn't want to win a Stanley Cup.
So you're saying there's no chance.
So he's made a decision. He's either going to retire or he's going to be a San Jose Shark. He's not going to entertain the idea of playing for somebody else.
Right, like we had talked about yesterday, and we're kind of speculating on where he might go or what might happen.
I think that is the wrong decision.
Do you think that means that he's really made his decision? Do you think he's done playing? Or do you think he goes back to San Jose? Because if you had made your decision that you were going to quit, then you might as well go out and say, well, if I do come back, it'll be only for the Sharks.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's no reason to play if you're Joe Thornton unless you have a legitimate chance to win the Stanley Cup. And I don't know that the San Jose Sharks have that window open to them. So that's my thoughts on it. I think he should go to a team that's a contender, that's a lock to make the playoffs, a lock to win a Stanley Cup, and try one more time. And say nuts to the Sharks, but that's me.
Do you think he just waits around and sees and who else might stay, or if it does implode like it potentially could, then maybe that's the decision that makes him go, well, you know what, I can't win with this team, so it is time to step aside.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if Thornton wants to give it another go, it'll be in a Shark sweater. That's all we know.
Okay.
All right. Joe Pavelski says he's pretty confident he'll be back, but it's not about dotting the I's yet. We love it here. We really do. Love playing here. I'm sure things will move along and we'll have talks and see where we're all at. Pavelski's probably going to want term. I don't know that the Sharks are going to want to give it to him. I really get the sense that Pavelski may not be a Shark next year.
Interesting.
No real hints from Erik Karlsson about his future. He reaffirms he likes the area and organization, but says he hasn't really thought about what's next. As for his groin injury, he says they are still assessing just what he was dealing with. Also, Chang Pang reported that Karlsson is probably not going to need surgery and it shouldn't affect his summer. Also, Evander Kane confirmed that he did not have any injuries. He just played poorly.
His injury mainly is brain injuries from some of the decisions he makes on the ice.
I don't know that you should joke about brain injuries. But what I am saying is Evander Kane did not have anything that would have explained away his poor play from a physical standpoint.
And for him, poor play also frequently leads to chippy play. Because he gets frustrated when he's not playing well and when the team's not going well, and he wasn't even
effective that way. Like, he wasn't even chippy that way. He wasn't even mixing it up in scrums. That's why I thought that maybe he was hurt in that Vegas series, but he says he wasn't.
I thought maybe he hurt himself a little bit in that last series when he went after Pietrangelo with a knee-to-knee hit, and I thought maybe he got the worst of it there. But if he says he wasn't hurt, then okay, fine, he wasn't hurt. So he just says he's not very good.
Thornton banged up. Pavelski banged up. Hurdle banged up. No, nothing on Logan Couture. That's surprising.
Surprising that he wasn't banged up?
Or surprising that he didn't give an acceptance speech for his Oscar.
Jeez. Surprising that there weren't any type of injury updates on Couture, because he was fantastic, 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 hit a wall. And usually when those things tend to happen, it's not so much a systems or a schematics thing that the other team is doing to take you out of the game. You're just not able to go. Now, you could say that the Sharks relied too heavily on Logan Couture to be the guy every single time when they needed a big goal, and he just ran out of steam. I think there's merit to that, but nothing on Couture.
Well, I mean, even if he wasn't banged up and he was fine, with all the other injuries they had, I mean, let's be honest. I know we've taken some shots at the Sharks here, and I know the fan base out here is certainly not fans of the San Jose Sharks necessarily, but they were really up against it. I mean, they might have gotten some calls early on, but when all was said and done, they didn't have much of a chance to win those last couple games as beat up as they were. And St. Louis, to their credit, how we kept on talking about San Jose when they had that opportunities, they took advantage of it. St. Louis took advantage of it. And they pretty much just took them out to the woodshed in those last couple games.
Well, they seized their opportunity. And I don't think if you told the Blues that they took advantage of an opportunity that Craig Berube would get all mad and upset at you. So,
no, yeah. They would say, yeah, we absolutely did.
That's what
opportunities are for,
yep.
To take advantage of and seize the day. All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. When we come back, Chris and I had a chance to sit down and speak with Derek England a little bit earlier today. You can meet him tomorrow. He will be out at Finley Kia on West Sahara. That's Saturday once again. I keep on saying tomorrow. It's Saturday, 2 to 4 p.m., Finley Kia on West Sahara. We'll hear the interview with Derek next. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Frank Harness, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman on the studio. And joining us now via the phone line, Chris and I getting a chance to talk with Derek England. Now, you can meet and greet over at Finley Kia on West Sahara at Lindell. That's going on Saturday. Derek, how you doing? How's your how's the offseason going?
Well, I can't complain. I'm doing pretty good. Spent time with the family, and I guess you could say enjoying the cool weather, but it's be nice when it warms up a little bit more.
Derek, obviously the season didn't end the way that you guys had anticipated. One of the things that I kind of take away and look at is that just, again, this team seemed to strive under adversity or during adversity, and you guys, you know, the season maybe didn't start the way you wanted those first 20 games, then Nate comes back and the team goes on this unbelievable streak. When you look back, how will you remember this season the most?
Oh, the way it ended for me, for sure. You know, it's a tough ending, and that's you know, I guess you can use that for next year, and you know, fuel yourself all summer long to get out there next year and do a lot better than we finished. And you know, that's probably what's going to stick in my mind.
Is that something, a feeling that you think will ever go away? Because I would imagine a few weeks later and watching San Jose lose the other night, it probably reignites a little bit of that frustration. Is that a feeling that you think will ever go away, or is it just going to stay with you forever?
I think once next year comes around, it's you know, you gotta can't dwell on the past. You gotta use it to your advantage and help it fuel the team. And you know, you can talk all you want about it, but you know, at the end of the day, we should have killed that penalty and we would have moved on, but we didn't. And you know, we can learn from that, and we got a great group of guys in that room that they've brought together, and great on the ice and off the ice. So I'm excited to see what comes next year, and you know, I just gotta be ready to go.
Well, we've certainly talked about that play at nauseam, so we're not going to get into that, but the fact that the way it did end that way and the season ended, like you mentioned, now you do get to spend some time with your family, and I know you do a lot of stuff around the community, but have you been watching any of the hockey, or have you kind of been turned off by it? Or, you know, I mean, David Perron, your former teammate, still alive. He's got a chance to win a cup with the Blues this year, and you've got a couple teammates that are doing pretty well with Canada. In fact, Mark Stone just today had the game-winning goal over Switzerland in the World Championship, so there's still some hockey going on, but have you been viewing it, or have you just kind of kicking back and enjoying some family time?
Yeah, more just kicking back and enjoying the family time. You know, if we're in the house, you know, it might be on the TV, but just kind of glancing at it here and there. But or if you're out for dinner and it's on, you're watching a little bit of it. But, you know, I don't think I'm going out of my way to throw the TV on. I'm trying to spend the time with the family, and you know, if it happens to be on, it'll be on. But, you know, it's the finals now, so that might change. I might watch a little bit more. You know, I think it'll be a great series, Boston and St. Louis. So it'll be a fun one to watch.
But, Derek, you mentioned next year a couple times. You're an unrestricted free agent, 37 years old. Is this maybe the most difficult maybe free agency period in your career that you're heading into? Because, obviously, this is your home. You want to stay here. And have there been any discussions about extending you?
Yeah, it's you know, it's always difficult when you're not signed, but you know, as of right now, it's still extremely early in the summer, and just trying to enjoy my time with the family, and you know, that's I tried to do my job all season long, and now you know, it's between the team and my agent, and I'll just wait for that call.
Derek England joining us, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Once again, you can meet him Saturday, the meet and greet over at Finley Kia, West Sahara at Lindell. personalized autographed hockey pucks to the first 100 people that come in attendance. Going to be food from Pizza Hut, Crumble Cookie, and Yaritos. So come on over there and check that out as well. Derek, I know a lot of people, you know, hockey players, athletes in general, some of them love meeting the people. Some people kind of just kind of want to kick back and just do their thing. You're somebody that actually seems like you enjoy being out there and shaking hands with people, taking pictures and that. How much fun is it for you to do a meet and greet like this at Findlay Kia? Of course, one of your great sponsors, and you're a great spokesperson for the dealership.
Yeah, it's always great, especially being such a new team here and a brand new fan base, and you want to get out there and help grow it even more, and to see the passion that the fans bring on a nightly basis for us. You know, it's the least we could do is get out there and shake some hands, take some pictures, sign some autographs, and just have a good time with them. You know, you get to relate with them a little more on a personal level, at these events. And Kia has been nothing but phenomenal for us, and we're just happy to be involved with them and go hang out there Saturday.
Now, you obviously are the guy that the team is kind of put in the community. You're basically like the face of the franchise when it comes to the community. But your story is really interesting too, because you played here with the Wranglers. Was Glenn Gullitson your coach when you were with the Wranglers, or was it someone different?
Yeah, it was Gully.
So you actually played for him in Las Vegas with the Wranglers, and when you were in Calgary as well, which is kind of cool. But I think maybe you were a little under the radar until the team was actually brought into Vegas and you became a member. So has this kind of been like something that you kind of envisioned when you signed here initially 2 years ago, that you would be the guy in the community?
I think wherever you go and play, you want to get out in the community and give back. And I didn't think it would be as big, as quick, but, I'm always happy to go out there and do what you can, if it's charity stuff or stuff for the team. You know, like I said before, it's still a new fan base, new team, and you want to get out there and help.
I think
do what you do can to grow it.
When I remember you the most, I think of the night of that first game when you gave that amazing speech following the 1 October, and you talked to me after the game, and you said that your wife had really helped you with that, and it seems like your family has really been a big part of your life and your career. Can you just expand a little bit on how much help that this family has been for you?
Yeah, she's been nothing but amazing throughout the whole career, you know, in the minors, moving from city to city, sometimes by herself because I'm up playing, or you know, if it's working odd jobs just to pay for a trainer before I crack Pittsburgh's lineup, you know, and then coming here, and you know, she's the brains behind everything we do for the charity and out and around the community. You know, she keeps everything in line and on top of being a mom and working. So, you know, hats off to her for everything she does for me and my career. And you know, you just want to try to do what you can to make her proud and help her out when you can.
It sounds like you guys have that perfect relationship of the old story, the adage of, you know, behind every great man is a great woman, and it sounds like you got that going for you as well. So one of the things that I've noticed over your career, because when you first came in, if you Googled you when you first came to the Vegas Golden Knights, there were some fights and that kind of stuff that were in there. You were known as kind of a tough guy. Now you're kind of a diplomat and kind of one of the core guys on the defense, the stay-at-home guys who gets things out, clears guys out from in front of the net. How has your game changed over the years, and how has the game of hockey changed since you first started playing it? Because we keep on hearing this emphasis that it's all about youth and speed and skill, yet the two teams in the final this year are two pretty physical clubs.
Yeah, it's still a huge part of the game, the physicality, I think, and it always will be. You know, there might not be as, you know, that straight heavyweight that there used to be. When I came and cracked the league, you know, there was still a lot of that going on. So there was a lot more opportunity for fights. And, you know, one guy I fought three or so times is Revo, and he's on my team. So thank God I don't have to fight him too many anymore. And, you know, I think what you try to evolve your game to stick around. And, you know, a lot goes into the work in the summer. And and they'll be off ice training, and you know, you just want to keep getting better, you know, no matter what, and that's what I'm trying to do. And you know, now kill a lot of penalties, and I really pride myself on that, you know, that defensive D-man, I guess, thing, and killing penalties. So, you know, I'm not going to shy away from any fights, but Revo's usually there and jumps on him before I get a chance. So maybe next year.
You mentioned a lot of work goes into the off season in the summer. Have you started the workouts right now, or are you kind of giving your body a little bit of a time to wind down from the season? And what does your workout regimen look like getting ready for the next year? Because you've been in the league long enough now to certainly know exactly what you need and what it's going to take to get ready for the upcoming season.
Oh, yeah. I start working out, I don't know, probably within 5 or 7 days of us ending. So I try to get right back in there. I like working out. You know, maybe it's not at the rink. I'm working out more with, you know, go with the wife and do some Pilates or stuff like that. But you know, we'll kick it up a notch once June hits, and you know, you got to always work on the speed and the strength. That's gonna get you going for next year and the conditioning. So, you know, Dougie's done a good job with a training program, and we'll get in there early June and kick it up a notch.
But Derek, Shea Theodore has told me on multiple occasions that he's learned so much from you, especially when it comes to being a leader and being a professional. But what kinds of things have you learned from Shea?
Oh, God. Stuff that I can't do. The way he skates and moves the puck and sees the ice. You know, he's got that gift. Offensive guy, and it's you know, you learn a lot from a guy like that, but you know, it's fun to watch the plays that he makes, stuff like that. It's always fun to watch. You know, it's off the top of my head, his goal in San Jose in the playoffs was pretty nice to watch, and you know, you can always learn from young guys like that too.
Well, Derek, we certainly appreciate the time. Once again, people can join you Saturday, the meet and greet over at Findlay Key on West Sahara at Lindell. People love seeing you on the ice, certainly. Hope to see you out there for many years to come. But have you given thought to what you want to do after your career is over? Because there's so many options that it seems like you have. You could go into coaching. You could go into politics out here. You could be a community leader in so many things. Is it right now just hockey is 100% of your focus?
Yeah, right now just hockey. You know, we'll cross that road when the time comes, and you know, obviously you want to keep your foot in the hockey door. So we'll figure that out when the time comes.
But Derek, before we let you go, I got to ask you one more question. When I was up in San Jose, I walked in the locker room one day, and you guys were playing some Shania Twain. The rumor circulating is that Braden McNabb was the guy who selected that. Can you confirm or deny that?
I cannot do either. I actually have no idea who put that on. To be honest, I usually don't touch it too often. They play good music, and I like everything. If we're to guess, that would be a good guess for me, I think.
All right, Derek. Well, thanks once again for your time. We truly appreciate it, and look forward to seeing you Saturday over at Findlay Key on West Sahara. Come on down. Remember, the first 100 people in line, you're going to get that personalized autographed hockey puck, so you want to get there early, take some photos and stuff, and shake hands and meet and greet one of Vegas's favorite Golden Knights, Derek England. And there it was, Derek England. Once again, you can meet him along with Chris Chapman over at Findlay Kia, that's Saturday, West Sahara and Lindell, 2 to 4 p.m. But you want to get there early because the first 100 people in attendance will receive a personally autographed hockey puck. Also going to be food from Pizza Hut, Crumble Cookie, and Yoritos.
Those cookies are awesome, by the way. If you've not had a Crumble Cookie, they are best cookies I've ever had.
So go out, meet Chris Chapman, share a cookie.
Yeah, I'll share a cookie with you.
How many people need to show up for you to stop sharing cookies?
Well, I will only share one cookie because I'm on a diet. But
then you can't share cookies with everybody.
No. However, if the Gilded Jester decides to show up so we can finally figure out who this person is, I will share a cookie with the Gilded Jester.
That's a good point. I think you should share a cookie with everybody or appoint a time in which you will collectively share a cookie with everybody that wants to meet you.
I will share a cookie with everybody between 2 o'clock and 2:05.
You're just going for it right off the bat, huh?
Hey, you know what? Get it out of the way.
Okay.
But you know,
there's going to be people there at that time because they're going to want to get there early for those hockey pucks.
Well, they want to meet someone.
You might be sharing a lot of cookies. You gave yourself a 5-minute window there. There could be 200 people in line.
Have you seen those cookies? It's going to take you a while.
They're gigantic. Yeah. Well, that's just it. I figure I can only eat half of one in 5 minutes. So they're gigantic. They are delicious, though. They have this like s'mores one.
Do they?
So is that your favorite flavor one?
I like s'mores. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, but.
What kind of cookie guy are you, Frank?
Chocolate chip.
Do you like Oreos?
I eat Oreos. Yeah. They're okay.
Double stuff? Those are my favorite. The double stuffed Oreos?
Yeah. I like Oreos, yeah. I used to have Oreos a lot of times when I would donate blood because you have to have some cookies or something afterwards. I would either have a chocolate chip cookie or some Oreos.
Do you want me to tell you something about Oreos that'll make you never eat them again?
Oh, boy. Do we really want to know?
I doubt it'll stop me from doing it, but go ahead.
They're vegan.
I don't care. Oh. It's not like I stay away from food because it's vegan.
Yeah, we're not anti-vegan.
I just don't gravitate towards only vegan.
Just letting you know.
No, is that your go-to cookie?
Probably.
Because I know no chocolate chip cookies because obviously milk chocolate, so you're avoiding that.
I mean, there are alternatives.
Yeah.
So.
But it technically wouldn't be chocolate chip then, right?
Well, I mean, cacao is
fine. Like dark chocolate, yeah.
Course.
Okay.
Yep.
So you still didn't answer the question, the go-to cookie.
I mean, my favorite cookie is a chocolate chip cookie for sure.
Okay.
100%.
So when
Oreos. Oreos will get the job done.
So when you and Mrs. Wallace are going to the store grocery aisle, who picks the cookies, you or her?
Well, me, for sure.
Oh, okay.
I'm very much a cookie monster.
So Mrs. Wallace allows you to make that decision?
I don't say allow. I mean, she trusts my judgment when it comes to cookies.
Okay.
Have you seen me? I know what I'm talking about when it comes to cookies.
I think we all do.
Yeah.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Back to wrap it up next. Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Radio. Your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Frank Harness, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman all in the studio. Remember, Saturday you can meet and greet Derek England over at Findlay Kia on West Sahara at Lindell. That's 2-4, but you want to get there early. The first 100 people in attendance will receive a personalized autographed hockey puck. There'll be food and drinks and all sorts of fun and festivities. And you can also meet and maybe share a crumble cookie with the one and only yesterday's birthday boy, Chris Chapman.
You'll probably also hear Gloria a couple of times.
Didn't realize they had a DJ out there, too, but maybe.
Chris has a phone. He could play it on his phone.
While you're sharing a cookie with him, he can play Gloria for you.
Or Hall & Oates.
One of the two.
Yeah. So that's to make my dreams come true.
Tomorrow's poll is going to be very simple.
We already put a poll up for like 4 days. Are we doing another one tomorrow, too?
Yeah, of course we are.
Yeah, okay. we could do that.
Should we continue to torture Frank with Gloria, Hall & Oates, or... Other. Give us your best suggestion.
Yes.
And I know that we're putting it out there right now. We will have an official poll ready to go tomorrow at the beginning of the show.
Gee.
I have something in mind, but I'm gonna keep that a secret. Maybe one day I'll just bust it out.
No. You gotta bring it to the table tomorrow and we'll pick the best other if it's an other.
Well, I could put this in the drops.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes.
Okay, that works.
Maybe I'll take my first sick day ever here tomorrow. All right. Back on this day in 2015, the Chicago Blackhawks continued their success in overtime games when Antoine Vermette scored at the 5:37 mark into the second overtime for a series-tying 5-4 victory against the Anaheim Ducks in Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals at United Center. It was the fourth win for Chicago in as many overtime games that season. The Blackhawks are still the first team in NHL history to win 4 multiple overtime games in the same playoff year. We talked about a lot of overtimes this year. Hawks had 4 wins in one playoff.
You said 2015, right?
Yes, sir.
I'm fairly certain that got Bruce Boudreau fired from the Anaheim Ducks.
Well, then even double good. Although I never want to see somebody lose their job.
You just said that double good, so maybe you do.
All right, maybe I did. All right, that's going to do it for us. By the way, also in 1979, the New England Whalers became the Hartford Whalers on this date back in 1979.
Young men expressing themselves for joy of winning.
That's going to do it for us. The Dr. T.C. Martin's up next with Bill Cartwright and other great guests. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey.